right. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well. All right. What a beautiful day the Lord has made. Amen. Man, I could not believe yesterday that 97 degrees almost felt refreshing. It almost felt refreshing. 97 versus 104, 105. I'll take it. Amen. I'll take 97. It did feel refreshing. Amen, amen. Got a few announcements for you this morning. Those of you with us online, always good to have you. Let's give our online folks a round of applause. Amen. Always good to have our online folks with us. Amen. We miss you. Some of you just can't make it here, and we're glad you can be with us online, so praise the Lord for that. And then let's see here. We've got Men's and Ladies Bible Study. That is tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock next door in the Sunday School building. Don't forget that, Men's and Ladies Bible Study Monday night. And then next Saturday, is a work day at the church, 8 a.m., all right, 8 a.m. start time, work day next Saturday morning. And then next Sunday, a week from today, after the a.m. service, will be a taco fellowship, so Taco Tuesday on Sunday. So Taco Tuesday 2 days early. Can you handle that? On Sunday. Yeah, bring desserts. They need to have something sweet with all that spice. Amen. All right, man. All right, very good. Are we going to have some meat not seasoned so seasoned as the rest of the meat? For some of us that can't handle all the seasoning? Just saying. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. That's right. Yeah, we need a low-octane taco meat and a high-octane taco meat for all you that like it spicy. Or a tame taco meat versus a really rowdy taco meat. So that's something like that, maybe. Amen. Or low, medium, high. Low, medium, high on the spice. I don't know. You figure it out. Amen. Huh? I don't want no bean taco. Absolutely not. All right. We got some birthdays for you. You ready for the birthdays? All right. Miss Sissy, don't forget your husband's. His is coming. All right. Clocking down, how old's he going to be? 62. All right, Mr. Lee going to have birthday on the 10th. And then we got Danny Bates on the 14th. All right, 4 days away. Danny, how old you going to be, brother? 81. All right, very good. And then Militia Tosh on the 16th. Anybody know how old Militia's going to be? Okay. All right. She's out of school, right? She's in college? Yeah. All right. Amen. All right. Yes. Grandson Hunter sworn into the Marine Corps. 19th on the 18th. All right. Well, amen. Yeah, bless his heart. Marine Corps, wow. All right, heading. Up in Wyoming, okay. Okay. Amen. Well, thank you for that. Amen. Which one's going in the Marine Corps? Hunter. All right, thank you very much. Okay, very good. All right, any other birthdays? Anything else? All right. Well, let's sing some happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Many more. Amen. Well, stand if you can. We're going to sing Friend of God. That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call, yeah. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing, so amazing. It's amazing. Friend of God, I am a friend of God, I am a friend of God, He calls me friend. I am a friend of God, I am a friend of God, I am a friend of God, He calls me friend. God. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. You have called me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. God, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Amazing love. Die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my.
Amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise the Lord. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for having the opportunity to gather together in your house, Lord. We thank you for all those that are here today, Lord, that their ears be receptive to the message. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he brings the word, Lord. We thank you for our grandparents that we celebrate today, Lord, for the wisdom and strength that they have, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to bless and watch over them, Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to have the air conditioners running and people gathering in your name, Lord. We're praising you, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you take this offering, Lord, that it may be used in the ministries of this church, Lord, in spreading your word, Lord. May you watch over us, Lord, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Jesus, we know you are coming. Take us to live in your home. Amen.
All right, all right. Well, if you are a grandparent, raise your hand. All right, let's give our grandparents a round of applause. Amen. All right. Nothing like getting them wound up and passing them on. Amen. Yeah, Grandparents' Day. All right, Children's Church. Today's the day, Grandparents' Day. Your day. All that free babysitting you give, you ought to get something for it. Amen? All right. Outstanding. Very good. All right, for the rest of you, if you'll take a copy of God's Word, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading here in verse 15, and we'll take it through verse 17. Always good to have visitors with us today. Visitors, thank you for being here. What an answer to prayer you are. We pray continually that God give us visitors, and we want to see some of you become a part of us, and some of you, this won't be the place for you, but we pray that you'll find a place where you can go each and every week and hear God's Word and fellowship with God's people. Amen? All right, Colossians chapter 3. Have you found verse 15? All right, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15, 16, and 17. Online folks, there we go. Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17. The Word of God reads this. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Verse 17. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for our grandparents here today. We thank You for their special day. Lord, we pray that You would bless them. Lord, we pray that there would be thanksgiving coming from their children and from their grandkids. And Lord, we pray that You just do a great thing today as we celebrate Grandparents' Day across this land. Thank You for this word. Thank You for these visitors here today, Lord. Thank You for Your church. And Father God, we pray our hearts and minds would be open to receive this truth. And Lord, we pray the Spirit of God would dive it deep down within us. Bring about the change that needs to happen. And Lord, because of us being here today, we'd be more in the image of Christ than when we came in. So Lord, I pray that we would take the word out of here. I pray that those that are struggling, those that are lost, those that need salvation, Lord, I pray this would be the hour, this would be the day, this would be the moment, the sovereign time in which they receive Christ. They make that choice to open their heart to God's love and to His salvation. And they receive Christ this very day. Thank You, Lord, that we're saved. Thank You that we're heaven-bound. Thank You that we got a home, Lord, a whole lot better than what's going on here in this world, Lord, to spend eternity in. We praise You and thank You for it. It's in Your name we pray and God's people said. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we start this message this morning by asking the question, is peace possible? Is peace possible? And that's an important question to consider as we see the ongoing war in Ukraine. I mean, it's almost not every day anymore, but it's like every week we hear something coming out of that region. We just had our Secretary of State over there, and he was giving some more aid and trying to help the people out. And the day he's there, Russia sends a missile attack right there into Kyiv. I mean, it's just incredible. I want to say 16, 17 people died like that. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. When we see on the news, when we hear on the radio about the destruction created from the war between the aggressor nation Russia against Ukraine, we begin to wonder and think about, is it possible in Eastern Europe? We think about our Bible, and we think about the Word of God, and we think about the history of the Jewish people and the history of the Arabs, the Jews versus the Arabs, since Abraham's, all the way back to Abraham's time. And we can see the Russians versus the Ukrainians. It's nothing new. Nothing new. People have been fighting with people since the foundation of this world, since sin entered into it. Now, a study of history reveals that Russia has been abusing these people, these Ukrainians, for a long, long time. This has been going on a while. In fact, there was a systematic, artificial famine. You say, preacher, what in the world is an artificial famine? Well, it wasn't caused by temperature, and it wasn't caused by drought, and it wasn't caused by an act of God. It was an artificial famine, and that the Russian authorities went through the country of Ukraine, and they took every bit of food they could find and took it from the Ukrainian people. And in 1932, 4 million Ukrainians died of starvation. Probably don't get that in the history books when you study your world history, but that is a fact, Jack, 4 million of them. Some of them resorted to cannibalism back in the 1930s, right? And so that's what's going on. If we study our Bible, if we look at the Word of God, it reveals specifically in the books of Zechariah and specifically in the book of Revelation that the final epic battle of humankind will take place at where? Armageddon, that's right. Less than 2,000 miles from this Ukrainian region. And for those of us who understand a little bit about biblical prophecy, We like the book of Revelation. We've studied the book of Revelation. It seems to me that all these nations are like pieces on a chessboard being set up for this final battle at the second coming of Jesus. He's coming back, isn't he? Amen. You believe that? Two generations ago, John F. Kennedy once said, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind." Now, we should all strive for peace. We should all pray for peace. But as long as there are evil men, like Adolf Hitler from history's past, Osama bin Laden from history's past, Saddam Hussein from history's past, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, Vladimir Putin in Russia, as long as there are evil men in positions of power, good people will have to fight for human rights and freedom. You believe that? Yeah. So back to the question, is peace possible? Well, Jesus predicted there would always be wars and rumors of wars, and history has verified his words. Jesus is not a liar, is he? No, Jesus tells the truth. We go back just right after I was born in 67. In 1968, there was a respected historian by the name of Will Durant, and he wrote in his book, The Lessons of History. He said in the last 3,421 years, now that's going up to the late 60s, right? He said, of the 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war. That's a small percentage. We think about the last century, the 20th century. It was the bloodiest century in the history of mankind. But people that track this, historians that study this, smart people that really keep up with this, they're saying now that the 21st century, at the pace and the rate it's going, it will win the prize as the bloodiest century. Peace, say it with me, peace. Peace is a popular topic. If you go on your search engine, if you Google the word peace, you can literally, listen to me, you can literally spend months, take an 8-hour day, 2 15-minute breaks, get you a 30-minute lunch. So a 9-hour day. If you spend 8 hours just sitting in front of your laptop or your computer or your phone, you could spend 8 hours a day for literally months, if not years, going over all the links that continue to appear as you get to the end of the search page and you click on the next one and there's another page and you get to the end of that and there's another page and you get to the end of that and there's another page. Peace, peace, peace. Everybody wants to know about peace. Addressing the topic of peace, Jesus was called the Prince of Peace, was he not? Say that with me, Prince of Peace. And when he was born, the angels announced, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the peace Jesus came to offer is a unique kind of peace. Now, many rejectors of Jesus will say, many people on the fence with salvation, many naysayers against the Bible, they will say to us as believers, As people who tout Christ as somebody important to us, as somebody who saved us, they will say to us, they will try to rub our nose in it, they will say, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, if Christ has come and promised the relationship with humanity, and there's all this religion, all these churches around, then why don't we have more peace in the world? Well, the problem with a modern day peace seeker is that they often miss the message of the ancient peace speaker. Peace is not the lack of conflict in the physical world. Are you hearing that today? Peace is not the lack of conflict in the physical world. Rather, peace is the presence of God dwelling in the heart of His people. So back to the question. Is peace possible? Well, I would answer it this way. Absolutely. Absolutely. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17, we discover the reality of God's peace. Give God a round of applause today for His peace. Amen? If you try to keep up with me and take a note or two, this is number one. You can choose the peace of Christ to overrule your fears. But it takes a choice, and you have to make it. You can choose the peace of Christ to overrule your fears. All of us have fear. All of us struggle with anxiety. But let me tell you something, friend. You can choose the peace of Christ to overrule that. Look at verse 15 with me. You got your Bible open still? Let the peace of Christ, what does it say? Rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Paul here writing to the church at Colossae, he invites them, and by the Holy Spirit, he invites us to do what? To choose peace. To choose it. The word rule here in the Greek, it means to serve as a judge. It means to serve as an umpire. The word means to overrule. In a court of law, an attorney may stand up and say, "Objection, Your Honor." And if the judge decides that the objection is out of order, he or she simply says, "Objection overruled." Which means, lawyer, sit down and zip it. Be quiet. I don't want to hear it. That is what the peace of Christ can do for you. Whenever fear leaps to its feet and says, boo. Whenever fear leaps to its feet and says, you're not good enough. Whenever fear jumps up and says, it ain't going to work out. When fear gets all up in your grill and says, you're not going to make it. The peace of God immediately calls for order and says, fear, you're overruled. Sit down and zip it. We live in a scary world, don't we? And this world seems to be getting scarier, doesn't it? Just turn on any news outlet, it doesn't matter, conservative, moderate, liberal. Look on the national channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. It's a scary place, right? From financial fears to all kinds of physical fears, which seem to cause a lot of emotional fear and anxiety. Is that me? Where's that coming from, brother?
I'm not.
Do we have a mic on down here? No, I don't want to use a handheld. I'm saying, is it on? Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue on. We apologize for that crackling and popping and hissing and carrying on. We'll try to get that straight here in a second. What are we talking about? A scary world. In a scary world, desperate for peace, the Bible says peace is possible in three different ways. You can have, number one, peace with God. We'll call that eternal peace. Amen? Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Go all the way back to Colossians 1. And look at verse 21 with me. It says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds," right? Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, right? Right, amen? Are you seeing it there with me? In your old sinful condition, we had what? We had no peace with God. Many people are afraid of death. And peace with God is the only way to have your fear of death overruled. Now, sometimes the question comes up at the bedside of those who are at their last stroke of the last hole of their life. I talk about being on the back nine. Well, when you get to the very end, you own the 18th hole. And when you get to the very end of the end, you own the last stroke of the last hole. So for some people, the question will come up about making their peace with God. Their peace with God. But we are actually incapable of making our peace with God. We have no terms to offer Him whatsoever. The only way to find peace with God is to accept the terms of the peace treaty Jesus offered when He died on the cross. Make sense? You believe that? Believe that? Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen. We're still all on the same page? Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, through the blood of His cross, Jesus has made peace. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The most important peace you can ever experience is to be at peace with your Creator. Somebody say amen. We're talking about three ways, right? Three ways you can have peace with God, eternal peace. You can have peace in the midst of pain. Number two, that is internal peace. We've got eternal peace with God. We can have internal peace in the midst of our pain. Now, not only can you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. The peace of God. Yes? The Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote several of his letters, including Colossians and Philippians. Philippians 4, 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so as he wrote those words, Paul was chained to what? He was chained to a Roman soldier whose job it was to guard him. And as he thought about being chained to that human guard, it reminded him that as a child of God, we are chained to and guarded by God's peace. And it is a peace that is so powerful, it is beyond our understanding. Some people think they must understand why something is happening in order to have peace. But I'm telling you, that's not it. God promises a peace that does not require us to understand why we're going through a particular situation. Jesus promised us this inner peace when He said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have... That's it. I've overcome the world. For those that struggle with great anxiety and great fear, let me remind you of one of the most powerful illustrations in all creation, from the life of Jesus Christ is described in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus and His disciples were out on a big lake in a little boat in the middle of a dark night, and a terrible storm comes up and the boat was about to sink, and the disciples were terrified by the wind and the rain and the waves. But through it all, do you know where Jesus was? The Bible says He was curled up in the stern of the boat sleeping. Friend, this is a perfect picture of the peace of Christ. Peace is not sleeping on a soft bed on a calm, quiet night. Peace is the ability to doze when you're on a little boat in the middle of a big storm. Amen. We think of peace being the absence of stress, but the Bible teaches peace is the presence of God in the midst of your stress. The phrase, the peace of Christ, assures us We can have the same flesh and blood peace Jesus experienced. Say amen. That's a good spot for one. The believers in the book of Acts, they experienced this supernatural peace of Christ. This Jesus peace is the peace that caused Stephen's face to shine like an angel as those jagged stones impacted his body per Acts 7, verse 60. This is the peace that enabled Peter to sleep soundly on the night before he was to have his head chopped off per Acts 12, verse 6. This is the peace that inspired Paul and Silas to sing songs at midnight in the middle of a dungeon per Acts 16, 25. This is the peace that empowered the prisoner Paul to stand tall on a rolling deck of a ship caught in a violent storm for 2 weeks. Acts 27, 35. The application is simple. This is the same peace that's available to you when you are when you hear about the next, because I guarantee you there'll be one, the next terrorist attack. What's tomorrow? 9/11. This is the same peace available to you when you get that scary diagnosis from the doctor. This is the same peace available to you when you feel all alone and afraid. You can choose, you make the choice, you can choose to let the peace of Christ overrule your fears. Yes, yes? Talking about three ways. First way, you can have the peace with God. That's eternal peace. Number two, you can have peace in the midst of your pain. That's internal peace. And finally, you can enjoy peace with others. That's external peace. What does verse 15 say? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. One body. Amen? And be thankful. Listen to it in the NIV. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Amen, in our ears? Satan is the great divider. Satan, he wants to divide every nation. He wants to divide every church. He wants to divide every marriage. He wants to divide every family. That's his modus operandi. That's his goal. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, binds us together as one. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Again in the NIV. Sadly today, too many churches, too many Christian groups are known more for their fighting and splitting than they are for their forgiving and submitting. Someone said, whenever you have two Baptists, you have at least three opinions. At least. Yeah. But the peace of Christ allows us to do what? It allows us to disagree without being disagreeable. There will always be differences of opinions, but when we are walking in the Spirit, the peace of Christ will serve as the umpire over our differences, and we will submit to the Spirit of God. Yes, yes? Back before COVID-19. Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember COVID-19? It's 2023 now, isn't it? Can you believe it? Just 3 months left. It's going to be 2024. Yeah. I can count. Preacher can count. I can go from 23 to 24. I bet he can count to 100. I can. Yeah. Back before COVID-19, churches like this one, we want you to have a fellowship time at the beginning of the Sunday morning service where people would mingle and shake hands with each other and check on each other. It was a beautiful thing. You know what folks were actually doing when we used to do that? Do you know what they were doing? They were, in a sense, spreading the peace of Christ. They were spreading the peace of Christ with each other. Now, we didn't call it spreading the peace of Christ with each other, but that's what people were doing. But I want to tell you today, even though we don't do that anymore, to cut down on the spread of germs from hand to hand. This church, I don't know about other churches, but this church still is passing the peace around. This church is still doing it. Just watch. After the service is over, people just kind of mingle. They just kind of hang out. They just kind of go up to each other. They stick around. They check on each other. What are they doing? They're passing the peace around. Amen? So you can choose the peace of Christ to overrule your fears, right? You can have the peace with God. That's the eternal. You can have the peace in the midst of pain. That's the internal. And you can enjoy peace with others. That's the external. So eternal, internal, external. With me? Point number two. You can choose to let the Word of Christ overtake your mind. You can choose to let the Word of Christ overtake your mind. Look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. If you want to find the Word of Christ, simply open your Bible. You find the Word of Christ within the pages of Scripture. If you agree with that, say amen. Yeah, that's where it's at. And not just in the letters written in red. But all Scripture is written by God. And newsflash, Jesus is God. And the Bible says Jesus is the Word of God. Amen? So we face a problem when we try to substitute our word and our thinking for the Word of Christ. Make sense? Make sense? Yeah. See, the problem arises when our minds say one thing and the Word of God says just the opposite. Yeah? Amen? Our minds are what? Logical, we think, right? My mind's a little slow. I don't know about yours, but logical. We want to believe only the things we can see. We want to believe in only the things we can taste or touch or hear or smell, only the things we can experience with our senses. But the Word of God often presents reality that supersedes the sensory perception. Oh, friend, the Word of God goes way past our feeble minds, or at least mine it does. Amen? When there's a conflict between what I think and what the Word of God says, I should, and you should, we should surrender to the Word of Christ. You see that? Surrender to the Word of Christ. This verse is not speaking of just knowing the Word of Christ. Rather, this verse means to allow the Word of Christ to dwell richly in your mind. Amen? Richly in your mind. Let the Word of Christ dwell within you. You know what that word dwell means, don't you? It means to be at home. It means for the Word of God to be at home. The Word means to be given the run of the house, like your grandkids get. Right? Yeah, like your grandkids get. If you come over to our house, we don't have grandkids yet. We have grandcats. Don't have any grandkids. We do spoil the cats when they come over. Right? But if you come over to our house to visit, we would probably say, hey, just make yourself at home. Just come on in here, make yourself at home. But how would we react if you went to our coat closet just off of our living room and you opened that coat closet and you started rummaging around? We'd kind of look at you a little funny. Well, you said, make myself at home. What would me and Stephanie do if you said, we've got a little love seat in front of our TV and I get one side of it, Stephanie gets the other side? What would me and Stephanie think if you sat down in my spot? Amen. I said, make yourself at home. Well, okay, I'll sit down where you sit. Where do you sit, preacher? I sit there. Well, you just sit down and you grab my remote and you start flipping through the channels, right? I'd be like, well, that's a little audacious. But you did say, make myself at home, right? When we say make yourself at home, we don't mean for you to make yourself that much at home. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Right? But there's a difference between a guest and someone who dwells in a house. See, the Word of Christ should dwell. The Word of Christ should live. The Word of Christ should have full access in your mind. Amen? Oh, you got to get this. You got to get this. God's Word must not be a resident in your mind. God's Word must be the president of your thoughts. Are you hearing me? Now, what's some evidence? Because there is some evidence here. What is some evidence of a Word-filled mind? Let me give you the big one. It's gratitude. Gratitude. Everybody say it. Gratitude. In our passage, the common thread, pulling these three verses together, 15, 16, and 17, the common theme, gratitude. Verse 15 ends with, and be thankful. Verse 16 speaks about singing with thankfulness in your heart. Verse 17 includes giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Do you see that in your Bible? You see that in the Word? If you've ever wondered how to find God's will for your life, the first place to look to find the will of God is in the Word of God. Is it not? Yes, yes, amen. There are several places where the Bible specifically says this is the will of God. Yes, yes, you believe that? Amen? One area which you can know for certain you're following God's will is in the area of being thankful. Just showing gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In everything give thanks. Now, when you have a thankful heart, you're always looking at your blessings rather than looking at your blisters. Always looking at your blessings. A thankful heart is a sign you are focusing on what you have instead of focusing on what you lack. Now, there's a story going around about Gilbert and Gary. Preacher, what's that story about? Well, Gilbert and Gary, they had not seen each other in many, many years. And Gilbert and Gary, they run into each other on the street. And Gilbert asks Gary, he says, "Gary, it's good to see you. Why are you so sad?" And Gary said, "Well, 2 months ago, my uncle died and left me $10,000. Gilbert said, "Wow, man, what a blessing. That's great." Gary said, "And then 1 month ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $50,000. Gilbert said, "Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but Gary, it sounds like you've been blessed." Gary said, "You don't understand. 1 week ago, my great aunt died and left me $250,000. Gilbert said, $250,000. I said, "That's great, but I still don't understand why you look so gloomy." Well, Gary, he let out this very dramatic sigh. He says, "This week, nothing. Ain't nobody died this week. Ain't nobody left me nothing this week." You know what I'm saying? Too many of us are like Gary. Like Gary. Instead, we should be filled with the Word of Christ, and we should be filled with gratitude. Say it with me, gratitude. You can choose to go through life either being humbly grateful, or grumbly hateful. The choice is yours. Amen, amen? The most joy-filled people are those who are thankful in every situation. And you think about this in your own life. Nobody enjoys being around somebody who is always negative and always complaining. Do we? We don't like being around that, do we? No. You can choose the peace of Christ to overrule your fears. You can choose to let the Word of Christ overtake your mind. And thirdly today, before we close, you can choose to let the name of Christ overcome your name. Your name. Look at verse 17 with me. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. A verse very similar to this one, written by the same author, of course, speaks the same truth. It's found in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 10, verse 31. It says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so the only way we can do things for the glory of God is to do them in the name of Jesus. You agree with that? Yeah. And so the Bible says we are to do all things. We're to do all in the name of Jesus. I understand all, I don't know about you, but I understand all as everything, and everything includes everything. All right? So we should play in the name of Jesus, work in the name of Jesus, eat in the name of Jesus, and even sleep in the name of Jesus. Amen? Well, let me give you a test here. Who gets the credit? Who gets the credit for your acts of kindness? Who gets the credit for that? If you perform an act of kindness, if you perform a random act of kindness, if you perform an act of kindness and you don't mention Jesus, then you got the credit. Matthew 6:1, Sermon on the Mount. Word of God reads, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. On the flip side of that, Mark chapter 9, verse 41 says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, I say to you, he will not lose his reward. So make sure you choose to let the name of Christ do what? Overcome your own name. Amen? So back to my question. Is peace possible? Can there be peace in Ukraine? With God, all things are possible. But a more pressing question is peace possible for you? Is peace possible for you? In the midst of your pain, is peace possible for you? In the midst of your suffering, is peace possible for you? In the midst of that diagnosis, is it possible? In the midst of your depression, is peace possible? In the midst of your struggle, is peace possible? I'm here to tell you, with God, all things are. Amen? I want you to notice what happened when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We don't have time to turn there, but you listen to it. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42. When he approached Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, he saw the city. He saw Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and wept over it. Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. He said, if you had known in this day, even you, talking about all the inhabitants, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem could have experienced peace if they had only recognized Jesus as the Messiah. But because they rejected Jesus, they forfeited the peace that could have been theirs. And because they missed this peace, Jesus wept over the city. In the same way, Jesus must be weeping over this world. He must be weeping over this world because millions upon millions of people reject him as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. Your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Can you sing that old gospel song? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Amen. Can you sing it? That's the song, friend. That is the song. Here is how you can let peace take control of your life. we find this wonderful promise in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. It said, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. The you there is a capital Y-O-U. It's talking about God. The steadfast of mind you, God, will keep in perfect peace, comma, because he trusts in, capital Y-O-U, because he trusts in God. You see that? The steadfast of mind, God will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in God. That's the kind of peace God offers you. Would you like to obtain that peace? Here's the secret. Did you notice the first words in verses 15 and 16? The word is let. Let. Not make. Let. Most of us think we can make things happen. But when it comes to experiencing peace, we have to let it happen. We have to choose. We have a choice. We have to make it. We have to give the peace of Christ permission to overrule our fears. Permission to let the word of Christ overtake our minds. Permission to let the name of Christ overcome our name. You see it? In John 14, 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not. Will you allow the God of all peace to fill your heart and mind with his presence and peace today? So we bow our heads, and as we close our eyes, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for your words on peace today. We thank you, Lord, for the question, is it possible? And Lord, we thank you for the absolute, verifiable truth that it is possible. Maybe not physically, but certainly eternally, and certainly internally, and certainly externally, we can experience the peace of God. So Lord, if we're running from it, if we're rejecting it or refusing it, may this be the time when we stop all that business, we make a full stop, and we make a turnaround, and we open our hearts to receiving it. Lord, we pray you do a work in us. Lord, help us not give in to fears and anxiety, but Lord, help us make some choices about who you are, about your word, about your name. Help us make those choices and make the adjustments in our lives. Get on the narrow road with you and see you do a great, great work in us and do some great things with us. Lord, it's the next generations that are at stake. It's our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Lord, when they come and see us and when they experience time with us, they need to see and experience the peace of Christ in us. That should be part of the blessing of being their grandparent, is passing the peace of Christ on to them. Thank you, Lord, for loving us today. Thank you for saving us. And we pray for those that need to make decisions for you. May this be the hour, the moment, the time in which they bend the knee and confess the tongue that Jesus is Lord and Savior of their life. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. You'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. The altars are open. You come today, and we'll talk to you about salvation. If you need to pray in the altar, you certainly have freedom to do that. All right, amen. Let's sing, Brother Jeremiah.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The cross before me, the world behind me. before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Check one. That one's better. Amen. All right. Good to have y'all today. See some of you back here tonight. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the cool morning in the morning. Pray for rain. Keep it between the ditches. And may we be able to say it was a good thing to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for those that you've assembled here today. We pray that you allow them to leave here in the love of Christ, taking the Word of God out of this place. And Lord, being a light set on a hill, not covered under a basket, Lord, may they beam forth the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the gospel of Jesus as they go throughout their week this coming week. And Lord, may you get the glory and the honor for what has gone on here through the lives of these people as they go back and intersect and touch the lives of lost people and people that need encouragement, people that need a hand, people that need help, Lord. May you use them in a mighty, mighty, powerful way to change, to bring change to people's lives for salvation and for healing and for hope. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, you're dismissed.